epistle lesson comes from the Gospel according to Mark and can be found on page 34 of the New Testament section of your pew Bibles. Mark chapter 1, verses 1 through 8. The beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in the prophet Isaiah, "See, I am sending my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way, the voice of one crying out in the wilderness. Prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight." John the Baptizer appeared in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And the people from the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him and were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair, with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. He proclaimed, "The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." The word of God for the people of God.
Lord, let the words of my mouth, the meditations of my heart and my mind be acceptable in thy sight, my Lord and my Redeemer. Amen. Well, the scripture that we have there, the reading from Mark, and this isn't Charlie's fault, this is mine, because I didn't update Fran. There's a difference between an epistle lesson and a gospel lesson. And in the bulletin, it says an epistle lesson. An epistle is more often called one of those letters that Paul wrote, or one of the letters that Peter wrote, or James wrote, or John wrote. The gospel lessons come from those four gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. This is from the gospel of Mark, which happens to be, chronologically, historically, probably the first of the gospels actually written. So it's very important that we realize that this is that good news that Jesus preached. This was the first writing and first presentation of it. And unlike Matthew and Luke, there's no Christmas, there's no birth narrative. Mark goes right to the purpose of Christ's coming. You know, we're here in the center of Advent season. November 30th was the first day of Advent. You notice we're halfway through the Advent season, or as far as the candles go, we've lit our second of the five Advent candles. That season of preparation, that time when we're supposed to get ready for Christ to come. Not that we go out and we hit Macy's or we hit Target or we hit that other mart. I don't have anything against Walmart because there are so many of them out there. Or whether you go to eBay or Amazon or one of the other places to shop to buy things that you need, buy things that you want, buy things that your children need because they've told you they need it. Or that they want, or you think they need. It's not about things. Because you can't buy what Christ gives us. You can't buy what Christ brought us. You cannot purchase it on Amazon or eBay, and they are certainly not going to fly it in on one of those drones. It doesn't come that way. As I said last night at the worship service that we had, the music that we had focused on sacrifice. It focused on the Word of God. This is the Word of God. This is not just the Word of Mark putting down what he saw or was told, because Mark wasn't there to observe it. He heard Peter speaking and Paul speaking and telling the stories that Jesus had presented to them. Mark might not have heard many of these, but he heard others speak of them. So this is the Word of God brought down to us so that we're prepared to know who Jesus is. Jesus walked the face of the earth as a human man. He was born of a woman. He suffered. He had every opportunity that you and I have to fall short, to sin. And he chose not to. He chose not to. It was a choice. Even when he was tempted, the devil didn't make him do it. He tried, but he couldn't. But what Jesus did, he does for us each and every day as we celebrate every time we light that candle of hope. I hope and pray that Jesus Christ is in you. Because if he is in you, there's a chance that that second candle that we've lit for peace has a chance to take root in your life. Because absent that, absent Jesus, you have no peace. You have no hope. Because if your hope and your sense of peace is based on worldly things, just like any building, just like any car, cars are wrecked. Buildings burn. And even if just time alone wears them down, we need the Word of God. We need Jesus. And we don't get Jesus with just a babe in this crèche. This nativity scene, that's not Jesus that saves us. That's the start of his life. That's the start of his sacrifice. That's where he said it was finished. When he hung on a cross, he said it was finished because he had done then all that needed to be done for our salvation. God with us, Emmanuel, Jesus came down because God had that in his plan. Because God the Father, the creator of everything, sent his own Son to be born in a manger, in some stable, not to be born in some palace where he was pampered by some potentate, but that he would live his life from the lowest of means, and the cattle that were lowing, and the songs, and the sheep that are bleating, and bah, 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 and that wonderful, pristine smell of straw that we might encounter in our own mental image. Go to a barn that has cattle or sheep. Doesn't smell all that great. Wasn't the best of places, but it was life itself that Christ Jesus came into the world so that he would be with us. He didn't come to give his life up for us because he was sorry for us. He didn't come to give his life up because God wanted him to do it. Someone else made him do it. No, he came to give up his life so that you and I would know that God loves us. That we would know that the Holy Spirit is willing to come to any length, to do anything, even to go to a cross to save us. Got that? Us, not just me. I'm a great guy. I'm a really good guy. Gosh, I can easily see why Christ would do all of that for me because I'm such a great person. I deserve it. Maybe not so much. I was waiting for Terry to say, excuse me. That's not the guy I woke up with this morning. Anyway. But it all has to start somewhere. And this story for us does not start in Mark. It does not start in that little town of Bethlehem. It doesn't start there. It starts with Jesus starting his ministry, his public life. He appears to John the Baptist And the verses 1 through 8, he's not even baptized yet, but he's preparing the way for Christ to come. Prepare ye the way. And you know what? There are those people that say, you know, we live under the New Testament. That Old Testament's old stuff. You know, we don't go there. Well, I'll tell you what. Pick up Isaiah. Open that to the 40th chapter and read verse 3. What Mark is telling us is the fulfillment of Isaiah's prophecy, that he would send someone ahead to prepare the way of the Lord, to make his paths straight. John the Baptist, okay, he ate locusts. Yes, he had a belt that was camel hair. He lived in the wilderness, a pretty rough place of life. And I don't know about you, but locusts, I don't think you can put enough chocolate on a locust to make me want to eat one. But it was a rough life for John. But he was doing it so that it was not about him. But the things of the world, the trappings of the world, were not going to dissuade him from doing the will of God. That's why he was standing outside near that river Jordan, and he was saying, "Repent! The kingdom of God is at hand. The kingdom is near. Repent." Well, what does repent mean? You know, if you're walking this way, which way's the cross? Back that way. So which way do you think I'm going? The wrong way. What do I have to do? In the military, you say about face. You turn around, you repent, you start heading back to Christ. You start heading back to that cross. Take up your cross and follow me. Does it mean we have to be tortured? Does it mean we have to hang on a cross to the point of death? No, but we need to be following Christ because he says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes unto the Father but by me." John is saying, listen, you people, I'm going to bring you a baptism of repentance. But the one who follows after me will bring a baptism of salvation and forgiveness. Forgiveness and salvation. What John the Baptist was doing was, you know what? You guys got dirt on your lives. You guys got dirt on the outside. I'm going to put you in the River Jordan and we're going to clean you. The water is going to clean you from the dirt and the filth in your life. Well, you know what? How's the saying go? Beauty's only skin deep. Well, sin goes right to the bone. And that's where that baptism of the Holy Spirit, that's that baptism, that extraordinary baptism that Christ Jesus brings to us, that cleanses us and saves us, because he goes right to the heart of the matter. And that's you. And that's me. Christ came because you matter. If you didn't matter, if I didn't matter, then Christ would not have hung on a cross. Christ would not have been born in that little town of Bethlehem. And Christ would not have shown up at that River Jordan where John the Baptist was baptizing all these people in repentance to go and sin no more. You know what? Each and every one of us cannot get through, I dare say, even a single day without some sin. At this table, we remember that Christ Jesus, on the night before he gave himself up, the night before he was starting that process where he would hang on a cross and give his life for you and I, you and me, this table is where we remember that his body is given for you and for me. We break the bread as Jesus did, and we exchange that. We receive that. And that's his body, which is given for us. And his blood, which is poured out, shed for us. Why? for the forgiveness of our sins. John the Baptist was baptizing in a spirit of repentance to turn away from sin and head back in the right direction. But he said, one who comes after me will baptize in the name of the Holy Spirit, in the name of God the Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, and in the name of the Savior, the Holy Spirit. Why? So that we would have salvation. So that we would have salvation. So that we would have forgiveness. Not just repentance, because repent, we know we're going to sin again. But God looks at us through the blood of Christ, given on the cross, shed, poured out, and doesn't see the sin that is us. He sees the stripes on Christ Jesus. He sees the blood of the Lamb, and we are made whiter than snow. You and I didn't do that. Christ Jesus did that. And he wasn't just somebody who hung on a cross. He was somebody who was born to a young lady in the meanest of estate, and then goes to a cross for you and for me. It doesn't end on the cross. They take him down and they put him in a tomb. And the tomb doesn't hold him. The stone's rolled away, and we'll tell the rest of the story come Easter time. But he's coming back. Oh, hallelujah. He's coming back. And you guys have forgiveness, because that's the baptism that you've received. That's the baptism that you can claim. And each and every time we remember with communion, we remember our baptism, we remember that sharing, that forgiveness that's Christ Jesus's, because he's done this for prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make his paths straight. And you can't do it for anybody but you. The path has to be straight to your heart. And you're the one that can open it. Only you. Christ's done everything else that needs to be done. Repent. But recognize that Christ is forgiveness. And that's forgiveness. And that is eternal. Shalom.